Dan Hampton, our guy, Hampo Bear, we were just watching you on TV. You looked fantastic. Thank you for joining the beat. You looked a lot better than the team, Hamp.
Oh, well, thank you, my dear. You know, I've got to tell you, I'm starting to think that John Fox is in charge of the traffic around the stadium, too, because it's horrible, too. This is nuts. I've been in the car for 30 minutes. Anyway, guys, look, if you watch the post-game portion, you kind of got the sentiment that I think is really the most important. You know, there's a reason why 30 years ago, people said third game, most important of the preseason. First, the third. And all week long, our esteemed head coach keeps going, oh, no, it doesn't matter. Well, I guess it doesn't because we got embarrassed. My little Dan sitting next to me, Carmen, he goes, that was embarrassing. And I said, yeah, it was, wasn't it? And how can you? And again, you know, my point is, if you're the Chiefs or you're the Patriots and you've been in the playoffs 9 out of the last 12 years, that kind of thing, maybe you can, you know, be pedestrian in the preseason and not really care what. This is a team that's looking for answers. They're looking for reasons to believe. What do you got? Well, I'm just telling you, we talked with Danny Trevathan and Adrian Amos and a few other guys on defense that I like, and I think, you know, we can build with, but, man, it was not good.
No, it wasn't, Hamp. And this is the second year in a row where John Fox takes his team out somewhere against an AFC team where they practice all week. It was the Colts last year. It was the Patriots this year. They look pretty good in that game. But it's a little different when you don't get to practice against the team you're playing all week long, and they come out in the third preseason game, and they don't play as well. And I'll tell you what, 2 years ago, this was not John Fox's team, but you know what I'm talking about, Hamp. They go out to Seattle in Tressman's last year. They got killed. Looked just as bad as they did today that entire game, and it turned out to be a precursor for the entire season. So they obviously have a lot of work to do before they take their team down to Houston in just 15 days and play a pretty good Texans defense.
You're exactly right. And if this is the way I used to think in the preseason, because you know and I know, you know, the score is not, you know, indicative of the type of game you played. We would go out and you know, slap people around, and then we'd come on the sidelines, and our seconds would go in, and okay, maybe we lose the game. Well, but we knew we controlled the vibe of the game. And what Mongo and Dent and Otis and all of us would think is, if not me, who? If not now, when? Well, nobody on that football team obviously has ever heard that. They don't care. And if the coaches are saying it doesn't matter, maybe they're believing it. You know, everybody goes, oh, he's coachable. Well, guess what? They look like they're real coachable, because if the head coach is saying it doesn't matter, it sure looked like it didn't matter.
Well, Hamp, and now you're talking about leadership. And one of the things about being a great leader is when you see things that aren't right, you're willing to call it out and not be liked or respected. You just don't care. You're gonna bring your best every day and demand it of the people around you. I don't know if they have enough talent on this team to win, period, but it seems like they're lacking in that department as well.
They're better. You know, I think you've heard me. Today, Alshon and Cutler, they are the only two starters from the last game of the Mark Trestman era. And that was just 16 games ago, guys. 16 games ago, and we only got two starters left. So it's a wholesale rebuilding process. But it doesn't excuse the fact that just because you got younger players or different players, you go out and you get slapped around in front of your home crowd for 59 minutes and you finally score a touchdown in the last seconds of this only, you know, the last preseason game, you know, that first preseason game. Let's go back to it. The Denver Broncos. You watch the Blackhawks after they won the Stanley Cup. They were drunk for two months of the season. They, you know, everybody was knocking them around. The Broncos looked like it was Monday Night Football. They killed us. Well, all I can tell you is John Elway opted for a change at the head coaching position for a reason. Now, all that being said, I'm just telling you, you know, I like the urgency that the Denver Broncos displayed. Why can't we get a little of that? That's all I'm saying. And, you know, you said it, 15 days to the Houston Texans. The last time I saw the Texans, they were playing their guts out in the postseason, being sabotaged by the guy that we had on the field today at quarterback. So, you know, I know, they think now they've got the missing ingredient. They've got the elixir, a real quarterback. It'll be hard to, and like I said, you're looking for reasons to believe and believe this is the team and the time. Show me one thing this team has done in three preseason games that we go, wow, we like that, and this is what we're going to be.
Yeah, right there. And Hamp, kind of on those same lines, I think it's a little too early to panic about Ryan Pace's first round draft picks in Kevin White and Leonard Floyd. But I'm still waiting for that wow moment out of either of these guys. It's only been three preseason games, and Leonard Floyd didn't even play today. But it just doesn't – maybe they're just hiding Kevin White, but those guys have not impressed like I was kind of hoping they would during the preseason.
You're exactly right. You know, there's something about a bona fide first-rounder that when you go to training camp, there's a buzz. They're like, oh, mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I got to tell you, Kyle Long, when he was a rookie in camp, it was pretty obvious. He was our best offensive lineman, you know, after about the third day. Well, you don't get the same vibe off of either one of these players. Now, is that the way it's going to be a year from now or whatever? I don't know. But you're right. Kevin White, I wanted to see him kind of exponential growth period go bam, 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 and then start throwing 180-pound cornerbacks on the ground, getting the ball and stiff-arming people and looking like Newt Rockney, you know. But I didn't see anything. In fact, the one deep out that I saw him, they threw to him, was he running 100%? Was he gutting it? I don't know. I'm just saying. I like you and Leonard Floyd, okay? Unlike Shane McClellan, at least he's around the ball. You know, when you're watching television, sometimes he shows up in the picture, whereas McClellan was always, you know, off the field. Well, the thing about Floyd is he does have some upside, some burst, but what, he had stomach flu 3 days ago, 5 days ago, and he's got an owie and he can't play? I just, you know, again, there is no sense of urgency on this team, and I've got to tell you, you drive down the interstate, you see little kids, they're playing baseball, they're shooting baskets. Nobody's running into each other full speed tackling. Nobody. You got to want to. You got to have a reason to do it. We're not doing enough of it.
The great Dan Hampton, the Hall of Famer, with us here on 720 WGN. One more on Leonard Floyd, Hamp. Just the concept of a guy like that who, yeah, he's got big time size, I guess. I mean, he's tall and he's athletic. But he's not what you would expect a player who's being asked to do what he does, get to the quarterback. That's not what you're supposed to look like. Can that work in your mind?
I think so. You know, size sometimes is it's a blessing, but it's not a necessity. Let me just say this. You know, Lawrence Taylor, I thought, was maybe the best defensive player of my era. And LT was, you know, 6'3", 240. I mean, he wasn't the biggest guy, but, I mean, he was special. But he had he had something that he showed when he was a rookie. Leonard Floyd ain't got that. Now, does he have enough size to be like, yeah, he does. You know, I mean, he's about the size of Jimmy Butler. I saw him, you know, the night he was drafted, and I'm thinking, my God, you know, you'd think for, the sixth pick in the draft, you'd get a little bit more bang for your buck, but, like I said, the book's not closed on him. I think he can play. I think, you know, I got to tell you, Willie and Lamar and McPhee and this kid Jonathan Bullock and Eddie Goldman and Akeem Hicks, and I'm just telling you, we're not going to be bad up front. And you know what? All that kind of competition is going to be good to draw it out of all of them. You know, Willie Young wants to be the sack leader. Oh, well, Leonard Floyd says, oh, I need to be the sack. So now you got, you know, something going. So I'm just, you know, I'm not closing the book on him and on either one of these kids, but you're right. Here it is, you know, on the eve of the preseason, of the regular season, And neither one of them is something that you say, wow, I can't wait for this guy to help us. You just don't know.
Dan Hampton here with us on 720 WGN as we try to figure out what happened at Soldier Field today. Was there anything you liked, Dan? I liked how Jeremy Langford ran the ball early in the game despite not getting very good blocking in front of him.
I like Langford a lot. I like, you know, Cody White here is going to be okay, guys. I was concerned he's going to be okay. Charles Leno, he's going to be okay. When we get Zach Miller back at tight end, the offense will be better. When Eddie Royal, I've been calling him Eddie Rumor because when was the last time we saw him, right? 3 years ago in Denver or San Diego. I'm just saying, when these guys actually show up, there could be some good things happen. And you know, Dow Loggins, the offensive coordinator, come on. You know, I know. It's hard to play cards with a deck of 47. You know, you just don't know how to put it together. And until he gets these injured players back, we got it. But my point is, I just don't see the swagger where you say to Kansas City, yeah, well, guess what? You may have went to the playoffs last year, but let's suit it up and let's go. Kansas City just came out and pounded on us in a lot of ways. And again, you got to get enough people upset about it to turn it around.
Hamp, we're fired up to get you in studio, see you and OB and Kaz and get the whole thing rolling here, and hopefully they will be a competitive football team by then. But before you go, because you've been focusing on Fox, on TV, and with us today, is it a leadership thing with him that you're looking at, or is it a scheme? Like, how do you break that down?
Are you talking about the leadership thing with Dow Loggins, the offensive coordinator?
With John Fox.
John Fox. I'll be honest with you. It starts at the top. You can say what you want about, any organization, a country. It starts at the top. That's the template. Everybody has to either engage or be systematically replaced because the leader is the one that sets the tempo and everybody has to fall in. Now, have you seen a team that is saying, we may not be very good, but we're going to knock the hell out of you? And I got to tell you something. In football, knocking the hell out of you is a lot of it. You know, you don't have to have Brett Favre to win a Super Bowl. You don't have to have, Jerry Rice to win a Super Bowl. You don't have to have, a lot of teams just go out there and knock. That's what Denver did last year. How many of those guys are going to be in the Hall of Fame? Peyton Manning, sure, but he was a non-factor. They had a bunch of guys that wanted to play. They knocked the hell out of people. And guess what? It worked out. We are not being told in some form or fashion from the start of the meetings to the practices to the build-up to the games that, hey, I want to see it. I want to see it right now. It's almost like, hey, it doesn't matter. And like I said, you got to look at the head coach. Like I said at the beginning of this conversation, you can say what you want about John Elway. I always said he was the best quarterback I ever played against. But John Elway made a decision for a reason. I'm just hoping we're not having to pay that price.
I mean, if we are, I'm ready to bring in little Dan. If Fox can't get it together by week six, if we're sitting here 1-5 or something like that, let's go little Dan for the rest of the year, throw him right in the fire.
Yeah. I'm ready too. It's a nightmare trying to get to this game. Whoever the genius is that's taking 3 years to fix the goddamn ramp on the Stevenson needs to be put at the 50-yard line and let me take him out. But I'm just saying, hey, all these fans come to the game. They get to see this. They get to see this, and then John Fox go, oh yeah, well it's okay. Yes, he's making $5 million or whatever. No, it's not okay. Not here. It may be okay in Tampa. It ain't okay in Chicago.
Hamp, we appreciate it. Good work on TV today as well. And look forward to the real thing in 15 days.
Hamp, we're sending you a police escort to get you on out of there. He's on the way.
Thank you. I need it.